The last two nights, we have been speaking on the subject, Will God Revive? And we've been basing it on Psalms 85, verse 6. And without repeating previous messages or being too repetitious, I hope we have got it established in our minds tonight that the answer to that question is yes. God will revive. God wants to revive. God wants to meet with His people, and God wants to bless us every time we're assembled together. However, we've also seen that there's a big if with the question of revival. God is not desperate. God is not sitting in heaven, wringing His hands, hoping we'll throw Him a scrap of worship. We're going to worship. We're going to do it His way. And God will revive if we seek revival His way.
That's right.
It's a promise I believe in the Word of God. He wants us as close as possible to Him. He will revive. We looked at Monday night that when we look at our churches, the message must be right. It's got to be Jesus Christ. In all areas of our church, He must have the preeminence. Last night, we looked at the mechanics of a church. The pastor of the church to the pastor, the church member to each other, the church to the world outside and to the lost. Mechanics have to be right too. Nothing will quench the spirit faster than the mechanics of a church being messed up. And the devil knows that, because most of the time churches are damaged and destroyed from the inside out. So he knows if the mechanics are messed up that God's blessings will be hindered. Tonight we're going to be looking at the material. The material that God uses to build our churches must be right. I believe the material that God uses to build our churches is found within the family. That's what God uses to build churches. He uses the family. And folks, the family as an institution in the United States of America is in worse shape than it's ever been before. And that has spilled over into our churches. Baptist families are in a world of trouble. And we need to remind ourselves, and we need to constantly refer to scriptures and see how much importance is placed upon families. Because folks, as the family goes, so goes the church. If our families are messed up, our church is going to be messed up. If our families are not spiritual, our churches will not be spiritual. If God isn't running our homes, He's not going to have much to do with our church. We've got to get it into our heads that we can't have strife and turmoil and trouble in our family all week long and then come to the house of God expecting God to revive and bless. He's not going to do it. The idea of walking up to the church door and the wife looking to her husband and saying, "You know, you're the stupidest man I've ever known." And him looking at her and saying, "Yeah, well, you're dumber than a coal bucket." Fussing and fighting right up to the church door, calling each other names. And as soon as they see the pastor, "Good morning, Pastor. We're so glad it's Sunday." I won't ask you to raise your hand because not too many people could raise their hand. We've all done that. get tiffed with each other, wake up on Sunday morning, fight all morning long, then go to the house of God and wonder why nothing happens. It's the truth. We can't have the devil in our homes and expect God to bless in our church. As the family goes, so goes the church. I believe the family is the first thing God instituted back in the book of Genesis. You know, he built all of society on that. He made Adam, he made Eve, told them to multiply, and then from that family, from that man and that wife, he built all of society. Family was before nation, before government, before the church. The family is the foundation. America doesn't get that. But Baptists better get it. Because if our country goes down the tubes, that's sad. But if our churches go down the tubes, that's eternal. See, nations rise and fall. But Christ gave his blood for our churches. So we're going to be looking at the family tonight. That's the material, I believe, that God uses to build his churches. I want to begin this evening by talking about the man of the house. About the man of the house. I tell you what, we need to wake up, gentlemen, to the fact that we are responsible for the condition of our homes. We've got to stop putting it off onto our wives. We've got to stop being lazy. We've got to stop being so involved in the world that we don't have time to focus on our family, and we need to do the job God put us here to do, gentlemen. It starts with us. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians the 5th chapter. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm sure you know what we're going to read over here. We could read many verses, but let's just read verse number 25. Ephesians 5 and verse number 25. Husbands. Well, we know who he's talking to, don't we? Talking to us, gentlemen. Husbands. Love your wives. You know, if the Lord stopped right there, this would be a difficult passage. Because the human depraved heart loves self more than anything. We love ourselves easily. It's against our nature to love someone else. If it stopped right there, it would be a difficult passage. Husbands, love your wives. We would need the grace of God and the help of God and the Spirit of God just to do that. I don't believe we're capable of loving naturally. I believe God loved first, and because he loved first, we are able to love. I believe all love comes from God. But it's more difficult than just husbands love your wives. I love my wife. I don't feel like I'm whole without her being with me. Nobody ever better doubt the love I have for my wife. But I look at this verse, and sometimes I say, woe is me. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Oh, we love our wives, but can we say 24 hours a day, 7 days out of the week, we love our spouse the same way Jesus loved the New Testament church? When we get tiffed and when we argue and we criticize and we condemn and we say those words that hurt that wife of ours, are we loving them the way Jesus loved the church? When we put our wants and our wishes and our little hobbies and all of our plans before our wife and we tell her to take a back seat, are we loving our wife the way Jesus loved the church? No. The Bible tells us Christ loved the church so much, he gave himself for it. That's an awesome love, isn't it?
Amen.
Awesome love. Look over the book of 1 Peter. Chapter 5. 1 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's just again pick a verse out of here because of time. Let's look at verse number 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. The word knowledge there means understanding. Dwell with them according to understanding. Understanding that they're different than us. Understanding that they're made different from us. Understanding that they go through things we don't go through. Understanding that they have things to experience that we can't relate to. Man, we need to pray that God would give us understanding in living with and loving our wives. We cannot be out of sync in our love towards our wives and have our homes be what they ought to be. And our churches cannot be what they ought to be if our homes aren't what they ought to be. According to understanding, giving honor unto the wife. Do we honor the mate God gave us? Do we esteem them highly? Did not Christ esteem highly those he came to die for? The church he came to start? Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. But we like that weaker vessel stuff. Preach on that a little while, no? Because she's the weaker vessel. We're commanded to understand, appreciate, value, and esteem highly the wife God's given us. It says in verse 7, the last part, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Took the same blood. Redeem your wife's soul. That it took to save you. If Christ died for you and your wife is saved, he died for her too. She's just as valuable. You know, there's reasons why God put this family unit in the order it did. But I tell you what, man, woman, boy, or girl, they're all precious to the Lord. All precious to the Lord. People say, well, I don't believe this affects the church. Well, what does verse 7 say, the very last sentence? That your prayers be not hindered. There is a spiritual consequence to husbands not being the husbands God told them to be. Your prayers are hindered. Your prayers can't be hindered without your spiritual life being hindered, your church life being hindered. Look over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Not only are men husbands, but they're fathers. And fatherhood is also at an all-time low in our society. Dads, we got a big job. I don't care if it's one child or if it's half a dozen children. Being a father is an awesome responsibility. It says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, don't fuss and fight and argue and provoke your children. Teach your children. Discipline your children. Bring them up in the ways of the Lord. And you know what? There's no guarantee that your kids are going to turn out right if you do this. But we're talking about responsibility and having clean hands when we stand before the Lord. As I've seen parents do this, and their kids still went haywire. Yeah, but when the parent stands before God, their hands are going to be clean. And the teachings that mom and dad gave their kids will make the children accountable before God. And that's the way God set it up to function. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't think I will. But I'm here to tell you, we as gentlemen need to get back to being the husbands God tells us to be, the fathers that God tells us to be, and we don't need anything called promise keepers.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
Now, there are Baptist churches all over our area up in Ohio that are just eating this thing up. They're all getting into it. And I'm here to tell you, it's not a God. Promise Keepers is just a restyled, revamped, refurnished ecumenical movement. And God's not in it. We don't need another organization to teach us what the Word of God already teaches us and what our churches have taught us for years. Promise Keepers undermines the local church. It's unscriptural. It's unspiritual. It adds to the Bible, actually. And you've got folks getting up, and you've got gentlemen getting up and leading these great crusades. Many of them don't even believe in Jesus Christ. Many of them denounce what Christianity's all about. We don't need promise keepers. We just need to keep what the Word of God tells us, gentlemen. I have learned that there are a few good men out there, and they're not all in the Marines or Army or wherever that slogan goes. But typically, most men go to one extreme or another. Either they refuse to lead their families and do nothing, or they drive their family like cattle. And God didn't call us to do nothing, and God didn't call us to rule our families with an iron fist. He's called us to be in the middle, doing it His way. 1 Timothy 3, verse 4, verse 12, the pastor talks about the deacons being required to rule well their house, the pastor, the deacons, because that's required of them. It trickles down, every man should rule well his house. Whatever God expects in the leader, He's going to expect it in the people. And the word ruleth means to superintend, to preside over. And you know, we've got men who just don't want to preside over their families. Presiding over their family means their hobby might have to go on the back burner. Presiding over their family means they might have to say no to that activity that they love so dearly. But which is more important, the activity or the family God's called you to preside over? Folks, there's nothing more precious in this life outside of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, more precious than the family God blesses you with. That wife God's blessed you with, and those precious children that you're responsible for. They're an heritage of the Lord, the Bible tells us. We won't turn there, but Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, verses 6 through 8, talks about other requirements that are looked for in men. The ladies have been sitting there saying, sick 'em. Now we got to move on to the ladies. Let's talk about the women of the house. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Let's talk a little bit about what the Bible tells us about wives. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's begin reading verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Boy, that's unpopular verse, isn't it? Unpopular passage. It's not just unpopular in the woman's movement. It's unpopular in a lot of Baptist churches. And you know, it's been a problem for a long time in Southern Baptist and associational churches. But it's becoming a problem in independent Baptist churches. Ladies, the word submit means a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility. It means to subordinate oneself. And the old pride gets there and says, that husband of mine is too much of an idiot for me to subordinate myself to. God knows he's an idiot. But the Word of God still says it.
That's right.
Women argue, well, I'm just as good as he is. That isn't the question. Folks, some women could probably do a better job preaching than some men. But God says it's wrong. It's not a question of superiority. It's not a question of inferiority. It's not that men are better than women. It's the way God set it up. And if God is sovereign in salvation, he's just as sovereign when he says, wives, submit yourself. Let your husband be the head of the house. He's just as sovereign. If he's right in one area, he's got to be right in all areas, or he ceases to be God. A voluntary attitude of giving in. Yes, there are abuses. Everything in the Word of God, you're going to find abuses. But that doesn't change what the Word of God says. Look over to the book of Titus chapter 2. We think about women, we think about mothers. I know what my wife goes through, and I'd rather be a dad any day of the week. And I appreciated her even more when I saw my children born. Oh, how we ought to pray for, love our wives, appreciate them. Mothers are so important to our society. And as the equal rights and as the National Organization of Women have decried all the Bible says about motherhood, our country has gone down. As motherhood has been attacked, our country has crumbled right in our own eyes. Tell you what, a godly mother is far more of a contributor to society than any first lady or any congresswoman or female senator. A mother that does her job before God according to the scriptural guidelines does more for America than any other woman in the world.
Amen, bro.
I don't believe it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a family, and it takes a good, godly mama to ride over those children and be godly before them. Book of Titus, chapter 2 here, verse 3, it says, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Why is it women don't love their husbands? Why is it in our society women sometimes don't even love their own children? Why is it there aren't too many discreet chaste keepers at home anymore? Why is it the term housewife is a foul and a dirty thing? Why is it wives hate the idea of being obedient to their husband? Why in the wedding ceremony have we in fact taken that word obedience out of there and shined it up with honor or something else? Because mothers have to teach these things. And when motherhood is broken down, these things don't get taught. And all of society is hurt. This is so serious, it says in the last part of verse 5, aged women, do these things so that the word of God be not blasphemed. I don't understand what all that means. I just know it's serious. You blaspheme God, you blaspheme the word, it's a big deal. Proverbs 31 verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? 1996, they're hard to find. But they're there. Our Baptist churches, there are still godly women who love the Lord. You believe what you want to. I believe it's our Baptist churches. The few good ones that are left that have stayed God's hand of judgment on this country altogether.
Amen.
And I don't want to imply by any means that there aren't any godly men out there. I'm not trying to imply by any means that there aren't godly women out there. There are. I'm simply saying that it's becoming a smaller and a smaller number. And if we want God's blessings upon our churches, daddies better get busy, husbands better get busy, mamas better get busy, wives better be busy, doing everything God has told them to do in His Word. And women, just like men, go to one extreme or another. They either say, I won't submit, or they say, I will, but I won't like it. That's like saying, well, I'll do what the Bible says, but I don't like it. Can a Christian really live in that kind of attitude? How do you think? If the Spirit of God is within us, we're not only going to want to do what the Bible says, I think we're going to like it. And if we say, I know the Bible says it, and I'm going to do it, but I won't like it, that's a sign to me we really need revival. Because something ain't right. Let's talk about the children of the house. Let's go over to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in some things. Children, obey your parents only in the things you like. Children, obey your parents whenever it makes sense to. Children, obey your parents in all things. All things. I tell you what, our country's in a mess. And I believe it can be traced back to mamas and daddies. The folks, our youth are in a mess. There's no respect for authority. They don't know what courtesy is. It's their way or trouble. Young person, you want God's blessings upon your life? Don't turn me out. Don't say, we've heard this from Brother Harvey. We don't need to hear from you, Brother Titus. Listen to what the Word of God has to say. You want God's blessings upon your life? You want to grow old, and when you get old, you want to have as few regrets as possible? Listen to your mother and your father. Respect them. Because if you don't, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And you'll have regrets for the rest of your life. It's a fact.
That's right.
Children, obey your parents in all things. It goes on to say, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Young person, you want to please God? Be submissive to the two people that He made an authority over you.
Amen.
And if it's not mom and daddy, if it's grandma and grandpa, or an aunt and uncle, whoever's raising you, who's ever putting the sweat and the blood into bringing you up to adulthood, esteem them highly. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Look over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Children. That's God's instruction book to every child here. And if you're 18 years old, you're still a child. It's a broad term. Everybody's got a mama and a daddy, grandma or grandpa. Listen to what these words imply. Verse number 1 says, children, obey. The word obey means to listen to, hearken to, submit to. Not too hard to understand, is it? You know, kids are depraved. I understand that. But depravity is no excuse for breaking God's law. And your depravity will cost God's judgment. So as much as God would allow you, young person, don't fight tooth and nail with your dad and mom. Listen to them.
Amen.
Obey them. Verse number 1 says, for this is right. The word right means righteous, virtuous, or wholly conformed to the will of God.
Amen.
Wholly conformed to the will of God. Isn't that where you'd want to be, young person? You want to get through these terrible, awkward, painful years. You say, I'm not as old as Brother Harvey, so I remember what it's like to be young. I know you go through a lot. I know it's hard to be a teenager. I know high school is a difficult time. Anybody that says kids don't have it rough have forgotten what it's like to be a kid. But young person, you never will go wrong by doing it God's way. Even when it don't make sense, listen to mom and dad. Even when it goes against everything you want to do, everything within you, do it anyways, and God will bless you for it. And one day you'll find yourself as an adult, no regrets. The Lord enables us. He doesn't change us. We're going to be preaching on the scars of sin tomorrow night. And young person, listen. You don't have an erase mode. Mistakes you make now, you'll live with the rest of your life. You hurt mom and dada, grandma and grandpa now. When you grow old, you'll be heartbroken over that. And even if you have the opportunity to go to them and say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, I'm sorry for being such a pain, you'll still have in the back of your mind what you said to them, how you treated them, and you'll shed tears. Say it's not so. I guarantee it is. Because there's not an adult here that doesn't grieve and have heartbreak over the fact that maybe they weren't the child they should have been. They didn't treat grandma and grandpa the way they should have. Young person, it's not easy being young. But God has said, I've given you parents. Submit to them. And it'll make this time easier. It's for your own good. Verse number 2 uses the word honor. You know, the word honor means to value, to revere, or venerate. Value. Value. One day you might understand what your mother went through just to bring you into this old world. Maybe one day you'll understand how hard Daddy and Mama worked just to be able to put food on your table. And one day when you're having to pay for those own shoes you're wearing, and you're having to pay for those own clothes you're wearing, you'll understand. But I beg of you, I plead with you, young person, don't wait until it's hindsight. Right now, value those that love you enough. It's not always Mama and Daddy. But those that care enough to provide for you, give you a home and raise you up, value them. Because society says what you ought to do if you got a kid you don't want, just abort them. You can abort a child 5 minutes before they're born. And it's only around the corner before we're aborting them 5 minutes after they're born. They come out a little bit imperfect. It's not long down the road before we'll be killing them. Parents have options. They're ungodly options. Your parents cared enough to do it God's way, bring you into this world, care for you. You ought to value them for that.
That's it.
Kids are being abused, they're being killed, and many times it's from their own family. But value the ones who care for you. Verse number 3 says that it may be well. And without taking the time to get into it, you don't obey, you don't do what's right, you don't honor. You figure out what the opposite of that it might be well with you. Here's the if, isn't there? If you do it God's way, God will bless you. Don't do it God's way, you're going to reap what you sow. I've seen it. I've seen the heartbreak. I've preached the funerals. Young person, you're not stupid. But acknowledge that you haven't learned it all yet. And until you get 18 years old and old enough to go out there and be on your own, give Mom and Dad the respect they're worthy of. Young person, it's not only your consequences, but young person, your actions can have a consequence on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If our homes are not in order, our churches are going to suffer the consequence. Deuteronomy 22 verse 16 says, cursed be he that set the... I'm going to have to paraphrase this. Cursed be he that sets light as at his father's instruction. You have to look it up for the exact quote. That's what God thinks about. Cursed be he that doesn't respect parents' opinion. Look over Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Verse number 7, word of God to his people, says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine home, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou layest down, and when thou risest up. This takes everything into consideration. Moms and dads, diligently making your home a godly place. It takes children into account because you can't teach them if they're not learning. Parents, we need to wake up to the fact that we're not here to raise successes. We're not here to raise young people who grow up to be tomorrow's leader, although they will be. We're here to raise children who will grow up to know the Lord. And I really believe Baptist churches are in the mess they're in today because somewhere along the line, we stopped sticking in our kids' brains what Baptist was all about. And many Baptist kids are growing up without the foggiest idea who the Baptists are, where they came from, where we're going, what we believe. We got to get things in order. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Train. I mean, that word just conjures up. It's a hard job. Train. It doesn't mean hit and miss. Right. Wednesday night. We gave the example at the beginning of how moms and dads come into church biting each other's head off. You know who sees all that? Our children. And you don't think our children are smart enough to know that we're hypocrites? When we walk up to the door of the church fussing and fighting, and when we walk through the doors of the church, oh, we're so spiritual. You don't think they know we're hypocrites? That's why they grow up many times and say, if I ever get old enough to get out of church, I'll never go back. Look at this fine group that was up here singing. I don't know who their parents were. Are. 10 years from now, how many of them will be pillars in New Testament Baptist churches? How many? I know it's all of God's grace, but yet there's an if here. God says, do it my way. And many of them will be. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from it. You know what I think that teaches? You train a child right, and they may go off in the right field. They may go off in the left field. They might do all kinds of wandering, but they'll never get away from that teaching.
Amen.
And that leaves you clear before God. That makes them accountable. And if they do a bunch of wondering, if the seed was planted there, if the training was there, God might just bless your training by using that to bring them back. But we must do the job. As the family goes, so go our churches. And none of this stuff is easy. Being a dad's not easy. It takes the grace of God. But there's no greater occupation than being a dad. And my little girls, well, not so little anymore, when they hug me and without being asked or encouraged, all they just hug me and say, I love you, Dad. Oh, that feels so good. Folks, being the dad God put you here to be means tough times. It means heartache.
Amen, bro.
It means pain. But all the rewards. The rewards. Husbands, treat your wife the way Christ would treat his church. Esteem them. Value them. Honor them. It's not always going to be easy. But the blessings will always be there. Wives, that husband is hard to live with. Men can't get along with men without getting into fights. So women, we know you got it hard, but be the wife God put you here to be. Work on them. Work on those rough edges. God will bless you. You may never be the man you dreamt about when you was growing up. But you do what God expects and God will bless your life. Be the mother. All our country needs the mothers. Godly mothers. Young person, our country needs you. Our churches need you. But we need you to stand up. Do it God's way. Stand up and say, I don't care if the rest of the crowd is doing it. I know what the Word of God says. And I believe that that applies to Christian and non-Christian. Young person, even if you're lost, the Word of God still applies to you. It doesn't say, if you're a Christian young person, honor your mother and your father. All children are commanded to.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And young person, I don't care what you may be getting from wherever you're getting it from. I value you. I believe Brother Harvey values you. I believe this church values you.
Amen.
Do it God's way. You'll not regret it. Revival will come when we set our houses in order. Because as the family goes, so goes the church.